In 2 Timothy chapter 4, starting in verse number 9, I want to read to the end of the chapter, and so try to, if you find your place there, I've got a few other passages we'll turn to, so have your fingers ready. But 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 9, "Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus, the cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works, of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute Prissa and Aquila, and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. Do thy diligence to come before winter. Eubulus greeteth thee, and Pudens, and Linus, and Claudia, and all the brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. Grace be with you. Amen." Now, what's interesting here, if we think about the context of 2 Timothy, is, you know, sometimes we read through these epistles, and we're familiar with them, right? And they kind of just, it becomes a quick read, an easy read. I know the story. I know what he's talking about. But I want you to imagine this and consider this, that really, Paul is writing to Timothy first to encourage him in the work, right? This is the second epistle to Timothy. He's writing to a young man there, and Timothy still is a younger man and in the ministry at this point in time and pastoring a church. But throughout this letter, Paul also kind of gives some updates about what's going on. So here's what you should be doing. Here's what's going on with me. If you think about that in context of missions, because that's what Paul was, right? A missionary. In a sense, this is a prayer letter. It's got some instruction, but it also has requests in it. Paul mentions, "I'm praying for you." You know, we're familiar with Paul's letters, right? It's the Wednesday night crowd. I know you're familiar with these letters. And generally in the beginning, he mentions what he's praying about for them, to, you know, whether it's a church or it's Timothy or it's Titus. He mentions some people by name. There's a relationship there, right? So it's communication between, in this case, a pastor and ministry and a missionary that has a connection with that ministry. Right? We're all kind of agreed with that. And what is Paul mentioning here? As I said, this really is a prayer letter, not necessarily an update letter. It's a lot more, some prayer requests in here. Right? A challenge to Timothy, keep doing what you're doing. This is what you should be doing. Keep on at it. It's the right thing. And here's some needs that I have. But notice in both verse number 9 and in verse 21, there is a request, right? Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. And then verse 21, do thy diligence to come before winter. So he makes that request twice in this range of, you know, 13 verses. Paul is looking for help. He's looking for encouragement. Why is he looking for help? Well, look at verse 11, right? Only Luke is with me. Now, it's not because everybody has departed and left him alone. But some did, right? Verse number 10, Demas departed, right? For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Better job opportunities. Thessalonica is a huge city. I don't know how big it was necessarily in the days of Paul, but they had a big agora there, right? A big forum where people are buying and selling and trading. It's right on the Aegean Sea, literally there. The water is there. You can touch it. I don't remember if Sarah and Jason touched it when they were there, but we made our way down to the sea. We took them down that way. It's a massive city, and it was pretty big in the ancient times as well. There's big walls and portions of them, and the market where Paul had been. As a matter of fact, I think it was Sarah who got yelled at when she went to touch a clay pot inside a museum that I think they probably should have put a wall around it. I mean, I'm not faulting her for it. Put a wall around the thing. You know, put a sign that says, don't touch. But she started reaching, and there's a security person there and just started yelling, Sarah, you. But it was a place for economic development, right? Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed unto Thessalonica. Now, it's easy for us to read that and to kind of say, yeah, Demas, what a loser. But if you turn over to Philemon, not too far away, chapter 1, if you find a chapter 2, please let me know. Verse 23, if you got the expanded edition, maybe. But in Philemon, verse 23, there salute the Epaphras, right? We saw his name over in 2 Timothy. My fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. Right? A little bit earlier in Paul's ministry, but Demas is a fellow laborer. He's alongside, right? That's what that means. You've come alongside and we're working together, right? We're plowing together. We're doing the work together. He is a fellow laborer. That means he's profitable to Paul. He's helping. As a matter of fact, Paul doesn't call him like my underling, right? Fellow laborer means we're on an equal footing. We're working together, trying to accomplish this goal, trying to get the gospel out, trying to reach people with the word of God, trying to reach people with the story of Christ. And so we're laboring in this together. But somewhere along the line, Demas got weary in well-doing. And I'll be honest, I find it very hard to condemn him. I'm not saying I support his decision, but I can understand him coming to a point where he said, look, nobody wants to hear it. Right? We're getting chased out of every town we go into. Paul, I don't know if you remember, but there's been a few shipwrecks we've experienced. I'm tired of having to replace my luggage every time we get on a boat because it goes down. I'm just getting tired at this. And look, Paul, they don't want it. I say, I have a hard time condemning Demas because I've had the very same thoughts. Man, praise the Lord, I haven't experienced any shipwrecks and haven't had to replace my luggage because it's disappeared. I've had it temporarily displaced on flights and things like that, but it eventually has made its way. But I've definitely had those feelings of nobody wants it. You know, in the video presentation, I mentioned there that there have been ebbs and flows, ups and downs, and you know, there's a picture of an empty church. That was a Sunday morning picture. And I'll be honest, that's not the most encouraging day. We had a service, this is going back now a little ways, and you know, it's unfortunate, the two guys that we baptized, they were in the video there, they were coming, I was doing Bible studies with them, and they're gone. One of them got way, way, way into, I don't know what else to call it because it's demonic. You know, you probably have heard of these deliverance ministries. It's that type of thing. comes in on a Thursday night, midweek service, we're singing, start the first song, and I mean, it's hard to describe it. I can try to just mimic it, but he's sitting on a chair, we're singing, and all of a sudden it's, I thought he just sneezed, right? Because guys are known for violent sneezes. I'm like, you know, maybe he's got a bad cold. I don't know. Just because it seemed kind of like a sneeze, and he just got into it. So we finished that hymn, going to the next hymn. And it happens again. And I stopped, and I asked him, I said, is everything okay? And he just looks at me very plain, straight-faced. Yeah, everything's fine. That is not the answer I was hoping for, because it sure doesn't seem fine. We start to sing again. It happens again. Praise the Lord, Kirill was there at this point in time. And for the next hour, it was a discussion. Me quoting scripture, Kirill quoting scripture. The huge blessing is Kirill, I mean, I knew of this preacher that this guy was referring to and been watching. Kirill had been to the church that guy is the preacher at and was saying, look, this isn't biblical. But this guy was going on about how, you know, oh, I just need to be delivered from these demons because they have authority over my life because I haven't repented of my grandparents' sins. You know, generational curses and stuff like this. And the biggest blessing is we had a visitor there that night. Well, that guy's never coming back again. He's actually shown up twice since then. Praise the Lord, that guy came. But and those are the days you think to yourself, you know, maybe there's some better jobs in Thessalonica. Paul says Demas departed, right? He had been a fellow laborer. And there's all this discouragement, and Demas just, you know what? I'm done. I just can't do it. Again, I'm not trying to justify. I'm not saying he was right, but I understand it. And so Demas goes off, and I'm sure Paul is thinking, well, yeah, who is left? Like the other guys he had to send off, right? I mean, verse number 12, Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. You know, maybe there's a problem there. I don't know what the situation is at the time, why he sent him there. Maybe there was some encouragement that was needed for the pastors there. Maybe some of the wolves that Paul had warned them about in Acts chapter 20, if I think I have the right passage there, where Paul calls the elders from the church there because he's not going to be able to go visit them again, and he's giving them some charges and telling them, look, there's going to be wolves that come in, and from your own they will rise up, right? He's giving them a warning. He says, I cease not to warn you. So maybe that's why he has to send them. Maybe there's some trouble going on. I don't know all of the reasons, but there were other ministries that had to be done, and these other fellow laborers had to depart to those other places. And then Demas, who was with him, now Demas has left. Only Luke is with him, and he says, look, come. Right? That's verse 9. That's also in verse, is it 22, I think, where he said, or 21, sorry. Verse 9 and verse 21. Think about that word. Do thy diligence to come. That is not just a, hey, if it's convenient, request. You know, if you have some spare time and you happen to be in the neighborhood, why don't you drop by? Right now, he says, do thy diligence to come. What is that word, diligence? Well, that's making effort, striving, putting your all into it, right? That's diligence. When we talk about doing a task diligently, the idea is that you're giving your all, that you're focused on it, that you're, you know, everything you have, all of your strength, all of your ability to get it done. That's diligence. And Paul says twice, do thy diligence to come. Verse 9, to come shortly unto me. And then in verse 21, you know, if you can, get here before winter. Why? I think Paul is feeling alone. He understands that God is his strength, right? We read that in verse 17. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. Right, that's David back there when was it Ziklag, right, where the women and everybody get taken, right? They fight the battle, they come back, and they're basically everything's been destroyed, everything's been carried off. And then the men that are with David want to kill him. And I don't know how much you've thought about that, but if you think about David and who the men were that were with him, that's pretty serious when those guys want to kill you. Remember, like, one of those guys jumped into a ditch with a lion and killed it? It's like, the lion's in the ditch. Just leave it be. Nah, it's dangerous, man. I'll just go down there. Right? I mean, the whole idea, right? Don't attack a cornered animal. They're more dangerous. Hey, he's down there in the pit. What could go wrong? Some of those other guys, like, slew 100 men. When those are the guys that want to kill you, that's serious. Right? That's not like the little kids, I'm going to kill you, man. No. This is like you've upset the mafia now. And they know some people. And yet, in the midst of that, David encourages himself in the Lord. That doesn't mean everything was rosy for David. Just he understood that's where my strength is, right? And Paul understands that. My strength is here. But that does not change the state that I'm in and where my emotions are and the struggles. Yes, that's where my strength is. The Lord delivered me. I think a little bit here, Paul's just reminding himself of that. But he's finding his strength in the Lord. But even though he said that in verse 17, 18, you know, he's talking about that, right? Even in verse 18, and the Lord shall deliver me, right? So he's even making that statement of faith. God gave me the strength here. God was with me with it. And I know the Lord shall deliver me. And yet still in verse 21, he makes the plea again, do thy diligence to come. For time's sake, we won't turn over there, but it's interesting to me when you read in Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 through 19, Paul talks about the gift that was sent to him. But he mentions that they sent it by Epaphroditus. And I often wonder, because Paul also talks about in there, not that I desired a gift, but I desired fruit that would abound to your account and all that. I can't say for sure, but this is just my thought. I think Paul was a little bit more excited that they sent Epaphroditus than the gift that Epaphroditus brought. Because it's one thing, you know, you get a package from afar. And that's nice. I'm not against it. It's nice. It's a blessing. It's encouraging. Somebody thought. Even just a card that comes in the mail. It's a miracle when it actually makes it to us, but, you know, if a card comes in the mail, it's a blessing. It's completely different when it's the person. I mean, just think about that yourself. A phone call is nice, but sitting across the table face-to-face having a cup of coffee is different. So here's kind of my point in drawing this to a close. What about you? What are you doing? Right? Where are you going? And when are you going? See, what do you mean by all that? Paul asked twice, right? He's begging, in a sense. Do thy diligence to come. Now look, you guys have sent people to come over and encourage us and help us, and that's a blessing. There's a board full of missionaries. You know, the Kowaks sent by this church. The Doolittles sent by this church. Many others on the wall out there. Oh man, their name just escaped me. They're in Germany. They were originally going to go to Austria, now in Germany, and they're from somewhere here in Wisconsin. But Klaus, that's it. There you go. I was like, I know it kind of has Austria almost in the name somewhere, Klaus to Klaustria or something like that, he said back when he was on deputation. And they had the kangaroo with a slash through it because people would get confused. Austria and Australia, like no, they're very different places. So but they ended up staying in Germany. They went there to learn German, and that's where they're at. What about a visit to them? So what about you? Right, if we really love missions, right? If we're going to make that statement, we love missions. Well then, right, we gotta pony up, right? Put your money where your mouth is. Where are you going and when are you going? And just as a side note with this, do you have a passport? Because I've come across many people. I said, oh man, I'd love to visit a missionary. I wish the Lord would just open the door for me to visit a missionary. And I asked the question, do you have a passport? And they say, well, no. I said, well, okay, in order for you to visit your missionary, that's kind of step one. You got to have that. Look, it's good for 10 years. It's easy to renew. If you don't have a passport, you can't get there. Right? What did Paul say? Do thy diligence. That means you have a responsibility to enable it to happen. You say, well, I'm not even worried about the passport. I don't have the money to go. Okay, but if God miraculously provided the money and you don't have the passport, right, then you're kind of not ready to go. Step one is getting a passport, right? Travel has never been easier. Take a family vacation to a mission field. Say, that's expensive. The Lord can provide. Why don't you ask him about it? Why don't you get set up so you can do it? Put yourself in the place where God can do that for you. I understand that it's expensive, but honestly, it's cheaper than it's ever been in general. There's flights pretty much anywhere. Transiting airports is easy, apps on your phone, all of that. International roaming with a lot of cell plans. I mean, really, it has never been easier to accomplish it. So are you doing your diligence? That's really the question. What about you? What are you doing? And I'll ask the questions this way. Not are you going to go, but where are you going? And when? Because I guarantee you, we could walk out to that board and you could point to any one of those missionaries. And they would say, yeah, that'd be a blessing. That'd be a blessing. So I don't speak the language. That's all right. You know, the missionary's there. Right? Kaylin came over. You still don't speak Bulgarian, probably, right? No. Barely could read it. But you survived, right? You guys managed the airport. Everything was fine. And we met you at the airport, right? You weren't all alone there. The missionary's not going to just like, well, yeah, here's our address. Hope you find it. Yeah. Now, if you don't tell them you're coming, that's different, all right? You know. Make sure it works for them and that they're actually going to be there. You don't want to surprise and find out that they're surprised they're on furlough. Where are you going and when are you going? Because Paul said twice in this short end of the chapter, do thy diligence to come shortly. Do thy diligence to come before winter. What about you? Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word this evening. Father, for the privilege we've had to just take some time, Lord, to open up your word tonight, to look at these things. Lord, would you challenge our hearts? Lord, help us to be faithful in what you've given us to do, Lord. But Father, to really think about that, Lord. Are we ready? Are we able? Are we in a position, Lord, where you could open the door for us to go and help a missionary to spend a couple weeks just being an encouragement, coming alongside, Lord? Father, would you challenge us with that tonight? Lord, please work in the remainder of the service, fast in Christ.